Yeah!
No, that wasn't a good one. Go back to the good one.
Yeah!
It's Friday, baby! Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. How do you do? Upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. What up, world? Great to be. You can't throw me off. I'm a damn professional, all right? I'm an amateur professional, ladies and gentlemen.
I was mixing, yo.
Wah, 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 wah. DJ Lonzo on the ones and twos this AM. I am Rob Brown, your ever so humble, yet frequently correct host. The pleasure is mine. Thanks for being here. If you're here, if you're not here yet, I'll thank you later. What a show. What a show we got lined up for you. It is Friday morning, and we all of us, every one of the us's, ladies and gentlemen, we all owe Steph Curry an apology. We all of us, all of the people owe Steph Curry an apology this morning. Because Steph Curry yesterday saved us. He saved all of us. If it wasn't for Steph yesterday, we would be playing for the bronze medal. But that's not what's happening. What's happening is that tomorrow at 3:30 p.m., Team USA will be playing for the gold as the 36-year-old Steph Curry put up a point per year he's been alive, recording 36 on 9 three-pointers in that game.
Hero complex. I mean, you know.
Oh, God. He can score 36, and it's not good enough for Colonel Grudge.
It's hero complex. I've got to be the savior. I've got to be the guy who comes in and saves the day. Although he wasn't. But
hell do you mean he wasn't?
They still were losing, even with all that.
And then what happened?
Then I think it was Joel Embiid.
And then they did not lose.
No, they didn't. But maybe if they spread the ball around a little bit more.
Instead of just being,
hey, look at me. I finally decided to play after all this time. I'm just giving you an observation from the other side. Not the smoochy. You know that's gonna bug somebody else. They're gonna bug me. Because I could just sit over here and not talk. I get paid the same.
You do it to me all the time.
I know I do. And you smooching.
Don't make yourself the victim here.
Smooching up to your boy. It's not me, Mac. I'm not doing it, Trey. It's not me. That's him. That's not me.
What the hell do you mean it's not you? My man scored 36 on 9 threes and bailed us out, and he's got a hero complex.
Absolutely. He does, without a doubt. I mean, look at the guys. Like, I'm going to sandbag. I'm not going to play well all this time until we get to a point where they need me, and then everyone can praise. Didn't say anything dumb. Just gave you a different perspective.
Unbelievable. Every one of us.
No.
Should rush out to buy a Steph Curry Team USA jersey yesterday. The minute that game ended, we should have all gone onto Amazon.
Like strapped up on the corner, a little binky that you can also, I want to be just like Steph. I'm the hero. I would say that noise is much more annoying than anything else that you're playing because I'm getting on my own nerves.
I got nothing for Lonzo at all. I got nothing at all. That dude yesterday, a day after a day after we had Hatin' Ass Mario on, and I said publicly to Mario, Steph Curry is not an asset. He's a liability at these games. Dude came out and said, double birds, Rob Brown, and every other hater out there, don't worry, I'll get it done. And yesterday played the best single game that any individual American has had on the hardwood at these Olympic Games. Dude was yesterday absolutely and entirely impressive.
Did he win the game for the United States? Did he make the last shot to take? Did he take the shot to take the lead? I don't remember.
I don't want to hear a word about Patrick Mahomes having a good game this year. Not a word. Not a word this year.
I don't care what you want to hear.
Not a word.
I don't care.
When he goes off for 450 and four touchdowns, I just want to say the next day, did he win the game? Did he do it by himself?
No, because Rob Brown says the quarterback does not do it alone.
Patrick Mahomes has got a hero complex, frankly. That's what I think. He's got a hero complex.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, hero complex.
I established it. You can't steal it. I mean, it's not like an ideal off the air. You can't steal it.
Sure I can. Sure I can. If it works for a dude, it works for the dudes.
It doesn't work for you, though. I'm sorry. You're better than that.
You are correct, Trey. I do need to drop a hate clip from the player haters ball. The player haters ball. Congratulations, you're America's number one hater.
Wow. I don't know.
Need a Dave Chappelle clip in here. I need them all. I need them all.
All your stuff is negative. You have no positive clips at all.
I open the show with nothing but positivity, a salute Cena style.
I'm talking about clips. I'm not talking about you. Do you have any positive clips on your board?
Oh, I didn't know I had that one on there. Is that the same one? It is. Oh, I got to get rid of one of those.
Okay, because you got two. You got two.
Let's move that one there.
Okay. I don't know. All right. You've proved yourself.
Anytime, Chad. Anytime. I don't know what to tell you. Did he win it? No. The same way that no one person ever wins a game of basketball that's not one-on-one. Would we have won it without him? Damn no.
I do want to point
out. Not regular no. Hell no.
I want to point out that you and I discussed yesterday on the show how, I said I thought it would be a lot closer than what people were thinking. And it absolutely was. I think they took Serbia too lightly because how they beat them the first couple games. And Serbia had their full team, and they played as a team. And after they got past Steph's gunning and started playing as a team, at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, they were able to pull away and win the game. Thank goodness for that. If they were just doing the running and gunning thing and being an individual, instead of being a team, they would not have won that at the end.
So
put the Steph stuff aside. They had to come together as a team and play as a team in the fourth quarter. That's how they were able to win.
All right, couple things here. Number one, Serbia was lights bleeping out for 3.5 quarters. They were lights out. The optimism of even I, America's number one optimist. The optimism of even I began to wane about 2 minutes into the fourth quarter, because even when the Yanks started knocking down shots, by the way, Joel Embiid, I swear to God, if you don't learn how to box somebody out, all right, take your gigantic ass and put it on another person, Joel. They had not one but two different times in the fourth quarter where they had not one, not two, but three second chance shots that the Americans should have broken the other way. Instead, that's an 8-point swing. Joel, you freaking giant, maybe use it. And also, Joel had some moments where I was like, damn, he can ball a little bit. He went baseline and threw down a jam that I thought he was going to shack shatter the backboard. Like, that was Joel Embiid had one of the most Jekyll and Hyde games I've ever seen. There was times where, like, I stopped tweeting about Joel Embiid because I'd tweet something mean about him and then he'd throw down a dunk that you're like, oh, damn, he just cooked the entire defense. And then I'd tweet something good about him and he'd turn around and watch Jokic get like four boards on the same possession for no reason at all. Joel Embiid was infuriating yesterday. But all of that being said, Serbia played lights out yesterday. Nothing but respect. And here is the conversation that I do want to have. And we will get into this in a little bit more detail later on in the show. RG3 sent out a tweet that I had to react to. And I like RG3. Big RG3 guy. I like RG3 a lot. RG3 said, LeBron James saved, LeBron James saved Team USA with the fourth triple-double in Olympic history against Serbia. Chef Curry went for 36 points at 36 years old. They aren't too old. They are the two best basketball players in the world, but make no mistake, they are,
hang on, I gotta get it,
too old for this. Ain't no way a team with seven NBA champions should only beat Serbia by 4 points, period. And I had a reaction to that.
Do you use ointment or something? Just something out coming, because that stuff will spread.
They make a pill for it now. You have to get all greasy. RG3 and everyone else in the Twitterverse that had a similar reaction. Let me respond thusly. Throwing, first off, love Steph, love LeBron. All right, I'm a stan for each. I'm a big fan. But they're not the two best basketball players in the world. Okay, love LeBron. LeBron is the best basketball player of all time, but he is not the best basketball player in the world. My dog is 39 years old. Is he still capable of taking over a game? Yeah. That boy good. Is he still capable of taking over a game? Yeah, he literally has done that like three times in these Olympic Games. Steph Curry, greatest three-point shooter of all time. Hands down, no questions asked. He is the greatest sniper in the history of basketball. Okay? Is he the greatest player? One of the two greatest? No, he's not. No, he's not. In fact, again, Thursday, when we talked Shooty Hoops with Hayden Ass Mario, I referred to him as a liability in these games, and I'm not walking that back because in games one and two, actually in games one, two, and three, Steph Curry was a liability. Yesterday, these two dudes dug down deep with their Messiah complex and bailed us out for sure. But are they the two best? No. Here's what I am going to tell you. The best basketball player in the world was playing for Serbia yesterday. Nikola Jokic, best on planet Earth, was playing for Serbia yesterday. Bogdan Bogdanovic, Bogey, as I learned they refer to him as. And it's all I'll refer to him as from now on.
We got a Bogey on our six.
Yeah. I'd have played the hell out of that clip yesterday. We'd have had all kinds of Top Gun stuff in here if I'd have known that. Bogey yesterday was infuriating with some of the shots he was knocking down, right? I want you, American basketball fans, I want you to enjoy this gold medal game tomorrow at 3:30 against France. Because you know what's going to happen tomorrow? France is going to roll a couple of freaks at us. France is going to roll Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert at us tomorrow. Couple of real good big men. Maybe the best defensive player on planet Earth, Rudy Gobert. And whatever the hell Victor Wembanyama is, some sort of extraterrestrial creature from another galaxy that learns how to play basketball. They're going to roll that at us. And I'm going to call the shot now. I think we win this game. Okay? I think we win this game. I feel comfortable with the win. And frankly, after what happened yesterday, I feel comfortable with the win and the cover in this game.
Okay, because you should know.
Objectively?
There shouldn't be any doubt.
No, that's not how this job works.
No. What I'm saying is,
just because I like a team?
It's our game, and we should be better than everyone else, but the world has caught up as far as basketball.
It's not even just that the world has caught up. And this is what kind of set me to, you know what? I'm going to talk about this when I come back. Because this honestly, it struck a chord with me when I read this RG3 tweet yesterday. I'm like, man. I had to tweet about it. You know it's serious when I have to tweet about it. And I had to tweet about it. So I want to address this tweet from RG3. When we come back in just a minute, a tweet in which he said, ain't no way a team with 7 NBA champions should only beat Serbia by 4 points, period. I want to address it when we come back because you, if you are a fan of Team USA basketball in the Olympics, you better enjoy the hell out of tomorrow's game. Because in 2028, ain't a damn thing guaranteed anymore. Talk about that when we come back. I am Rob Brown. Colonel Grudge on the other side of the glass. The great one, Lonzo, on the ones and twos. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. We learned during the break there just minutes ago that a plane carrying home members of the Carolina Panthers after last night's preseason game in New England, and we will talk about that game coming up in the next hour of the show. Delta Flight 8860 landed on runway 36 right last night at 2:35 a.m. and then slid off the runway. No one was injured. In the event, passengers were deplaned shortly after the incident and taken to Wilson Air Base, according to WCNC Charlotte. Delta Airlines issued a statement that said, quote, the right main gear of Delta 8860 exited the taxiway at Charlotte. That's a way to put that. It exited the taxiway. Yeah, it slid off. It fast and the furious off the runway, bud. Exited the taxiway at Charlotte Douglas International Airport. Following a normal arrival, no injuries were reported by the 188 customers who are deplaning and being bused to the terminal. We apologize to our customers for the inconvenience. I've been on, I don't know, a few hundred flights in my lifetime. I've never had an issue before. Like, I've never had anything like this happen. I'm not saying it would stop me from ever flying again. But,
I don't have to worry about this, ever.
Because I mean, you also don't have to worry about seeing the world.
Well, that's
but
what,
you know, to each their own.
I can put on some.
I got YouTube,
VR.
Bro.
I can put on some VR, and it's like I'm there. No,
yeah,
no, thank you.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I do not ever want to be on a plane for reasons like that.
It's the same thing. All right, let's get back to this RG3.
By the way, in all seriousness, I'm glad they're all right.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Obviously, same. That's. I'm not saying even as a veteran aviation enthusiast, I'm not saying that wouldn't scare. As Deadpool would say, I'd be glad to have my brown pants on. So, you know, because he wears red, so you can't see him bleed.
Listen, I get it.
Okay, you look confused. I just wanted to make sure were
No.
On the same page.
As per our discussion before the show started, I'm wondering if you're trying to do that or not. That's the reason why.
All right, so American basketball fans, yesterday, a thriller in Paris. The Americans do ultimately get by Serbia in the semifinal. They have earned their berth in the gold medal game against France coming up tomorrow at 3:30 in the afternoon. We'll break that game down a little bit later on in the radio broadcast. I hope you enjoy these Olympics. Because 4 years from now, I think that The Americans will still send a great assemblage of talent to Los Angeles, California, the site of the 2028 Summer Olympic Games. Alonzo and I will be in our 70s when those Olympics roll around. I'm very excited about seeing what happens, mainly because I think if there's one thing that you can get by looking at this roster, I think the thing that you were almost kind of obligated to realize and recognize is that the dominance that we have displayed roster-wise for so many years, a lot of it's going to have to roll off. A lot of it is gonna have to roll off. Kevin Durant, probably not going to be the same cat. LeBron James, Steph Curry. Hell, even guys like Embiid are kind of going to be right there on that cusp in 4 years from now. Because it's not just the age, but it's also 4 more years of NBA wear and tear on the body. Steph Curry plays a game where he's not all that beat up all of the time. So he's got a little bit more in the tank. LeBron is a once in a, I'll say, and I actually, I'm not even going to temper it. LeBron James is a once in a lifetime player. Not just that he made it to 39, but he made it to 39 still as one of the most dominant players on the face of the planet. These guys are rolling off. And if I asked you right now, outside of the few guys that are on it right now, Anthony Edwards, who is in his young 20s. If I asked you right now, who's the talent that rolls onto the roster to replace these dudes? Do you have an answer for me? That to fill out a 12-man roster, do you have Drew Holiday's going to be gone? There's your defensive specialist. Who are the cats in their early 20s that roll onto this roster? Who are the guys that are going to be playing college ball? Cooper Flagg? Are we ready to put that? He impressed everybody during the warm-up tour. Are you ready to put Cooper Flagg there and say he is going to be ready to play and dominate in the Olympics? I'm not.
There's an answer there. There's an answer, and Joel Embiid just showed you how to do it. You find these guys who have lived here for a really long time. They were born somewhere else and let them play for the USA.
If they want to.
Right.
But we are seeing, look at the, again, and I'll tell you what triggered this conversation was talking about Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama for Team France. Let us not forget that they had two of the top three picks, France did, in this year's NBA draft between Ricochet and Alex Saar.
Did you say Ricochet?
His name is Ricochet.
Okay, all right.
Ricochet. You've got, you add Salon into that. France needs a point guard, and they will have 5 NBA starters as their international starting lineup in 2028. 5 young NBA starters. And oh, by the way, Rudy Gobert's still on that team. And I don't know if he'll be in 4 years. But he theoretically could, just like Joel Embiid theoretically could be on this team in 4 years, right? France will have at least a starting five that is all NBA starters in 4 years. No one else has that right now. So here's the point I'm driving at. Enjoy the dominance now. Because is it our game? Sure. But not anymore. It's the world's game now. All right? The result of the Americans propping up basketball and the result of the Americans living in a country that the rest of the world looks to and follows is that you ain't going to be the best at your stuff forever. Baseball fans have already had to accept this. Look at the World Baseball Classic. Japan is kicking our ass, as Jim Carrey once said in a famous movie called Liar Liar. Baseball is not our sport anymore. Is it our sport in that it happens here? The world comes to play here. Major League Baseball is still, without a doubt, the most popular baseball league on the face of the planet. Absolutely. The best Japanese players come to America. The best Dominican players come to America. The best Mexican players, the best European, they all come here to play baseball. But America does not send the best team to the international baseball tournaments anymore because we're not. Basketball is going that direction. And there's one more element to this that I think Robert Griffin III is missing. He said, ain't no way a team with seven NBA champions should only beat Serbia by four. And on paper, that's correct. But I want you to really think about this. At the most, Team USA Basketball gets together once every 2 years for about 3 to 4 weeks. Look up and down this roster. The Philadelphia 76ers build their team around Joel Embiid. It caters to what Joel Embiid does. The Boston Celtics, not as much with Jason Tatum, who, by the way, did not play in this game yesterday, and a lot of people are coming after Steve Kerr for it. We'll talk about that later. But the Boston Celtics have built that team around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but they built it around him. It caters to him. The Lakers have built a team that caters around LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who are on this team. Steph Curry. The Warriors clearly cater that team around Steph Curry, as they should. You're ludicrous not to. But the point here is, pick your NBA player off of this roster and come to the realization and recognition that they spend 95% of their basketballing on a team that is catered to them, that builds its play style to them, that runs everything to and through them. So just throwing them on the same page doesn't mean they're automatically going to click, all right? Lonzo and I are the LeBron and Steph of South Carolina Sports Talk Radio. Obviously, he's Braun. We are the LeBron and Steph.
Evil Eye works. I'm just saying that because you know what he was going to do.
But what I would say is when Lonzo and I got put onto the same show, for the record, when it happened, I got a text at like 5:45 one afternoon that's like, hey, Lonzo's on your show now.
Be glad you weren't on the Zoom call.
I'm real glad I wasn't on the Zoom call. As somebody who hates confrontation, it had just been my camera pointed at the ceiling at that point, all right? I got a text at like 5:45 from the boss. Hey, Lonzo's on your show now. I'm like, okay. And when he came in the next day and sat in on the show for the first time, and he and I went, okay, we're a dynamic duo now. He won't admit it. It took us a couple of shows to kind of feel out with the chemistry of the soon-to-be three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year was going to be.
We're not there yet. We're working on it.
That's true. There are still mornings that my mother texts me and goes, you guys good? Y'all all right? Y'all go fight it out in the parking lot after this. Okay? It takes some time. So when these guys are playing 95% of their basketball on teams that cater exclusively to them, when they show up to an event like this, where I got a dozen guys, well, let's say nine. Nine, because Drew Holiday doesn't get catered to. Derek White doesn't get catered to. But like nine, maybe 10 out of the 12 guys.
That Livingston guy or whatever his name is.
Tyrese Halliburton, definitely not Livingston. But I'm going to disagree. He does with the sirs.
The sirs.
He does get catered to. I'm going to say 10 out of 12 guys. Let's say 9 for the conversation. 9 out of 12 guys, 95% of their basketball and the basketball team is catered to them. 3 aren't. So when they show up on a team like this, they're not. And you could see it yesterday. because the timing just wasn't there. Steph was running a give and go with Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid was passing the ball to a ghost because he's not used to Steph, even after a couple of weeks. He's not used to Steph being a guy that passes and is on the cut before you receive the pass. So the timing wasn't there. So the thought of, well, you just roll out seven NBA champs and you'll dominate, that's not true, because three games doesn't make you a great basketball team. This is also one reason that I think we should start exclusively allowing college coaches to coach Team USA. You know who should coach them in 2028? Dan Hurley should coach this team in 2028, not Steve Kerr. Because there's all these NBA algorithms that he has to run through. We should send a dude who doesn't give a damn about whether or not somebody's feelings are hurt.
You mean like how Coach K did it?
Bingo. Bingo. That's exactly correct. All right, we'll talk more about this later on in the show. But, yo, we're not guaranteed gold in 2028. Just so we're clear, it's going to be a fight in 2028. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Just so we're clear, Max said, I want amateurs back for basketball. I do not. I still want to send the best. You know what I would love to see? And I don't know that it's going to be a thing. I don't know that it could be a thing. I don't think that NBA teams would let it be a thing. What I would love to see is the international team get more time to play and sharpen that chemistry. I'd like to see them get maybe like an extra week and a half of games, like maybe three more games, like maybe they do six tune-up games en route to the Olympics instead of three. Because to me, the issue yesterday was not talent level. It wasn't. That will be a thing in the future. The NBA is an international league now. The NBA, just like Major League Baseball and just like the NFL, within a handful of years, the NBA will get a second international team. The first one obviously being Toronto, Canada, eh? So it's kind of like, yeah, you're just USA North. We get it. But they will have another international team at some point. Now, unlike, say, the National Football League, where they could easily stick a team in Great Britain or Germany or whatever, because they play once every 7 days, and you could cater the schedule to that team. I don't know that you could easily prop up a European team that plays in the NBA. I think you could prop up a European league, and then every year, the winner of the NBA plays the winner of the European League for the world title. I think you could do that. But I do not think that you could prop up a team. That being said, the best from around the world are now playing a game that is played around the world, and they are coming here. But unlike in years gone by, we are now at a point where, like Joel Embiid, who had the opportunity to play for Cameroon, France, or the United States, and he picked the U.S. And he said straight up, I'm playing for Team USA because I want a gold medal. And it ain't coming from Cameroon. And I got a better shot with Team USA than anywhere else. You are starting to see players who are going, yeah, I'm going to come to the United States, and I'm going to make my tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. And I'm going to get world famous, but I'm playing for Serbia or France or whoever, Germany. And as basketball continues to become a worldwide phenomenon, more of those players are going to not just be great NBAers, but elect to play for their home country. So the skill is going to level out. Will there ever be a point that Team USA doesn't have the most talented roster, like purely on paper talent, or the most accomplished roster? I doubt it. I doubt there ever will be a point where if you look roster spot by roster spot 1 through 12, that there will be a year where Team USA doesn't clearly have the best talent. Will there ever be a point where it doesn't have the most chemistry? Sure. Sure. I think yesterday you got a glimpse of that. The chemistry for Team Serbia was unreal yesterday. They were clicking. Team USA was not. Now, basketball teams have one-off games all the time. The Boston Celtics had a one-off game against the Dallas Mavericks where Dallas won. But Boston was clearly the superior basketball team. Clearly. So, what I'm saying with all of this, and I'm not going to hang on this for the whole show, but yes, yesterday's game was big to me as somebody who loves to see the stars and stripes fly in the Olympics and certainly wants to see the stars and stripes fly during our contest. I will feel the same way despite knowing that we are not the most talented baseball country right now. That's Japan. I will feel this same sense of enthusiasm and energy when baseball is played in the Olympics in 2028 in Los Angeles, California. I will have the exact same energy, aura, as the kids are calling it, about baseball at the 2028 Olympics. So, I want to enjoy what we are getting right now out of Team USA basketball, because in 2028,
it's your fault.
I needed my Sean Bean. No, it is my fault.
Yeah, my bad.
So, I do not want amateurs back in the game. Okay? I want to send the best we have and the best we have play in the NBA. And on top of that, I don't know how much more you could do, right? College basketball is not that far away, y'all. We're looking at what, two and a half months until we get our preseason tournaments going on around the hemisphere? I was going to say around the country, but they play them in Puerto Rico and the Bahamas.
Yeah, I was going to say Jamaica and places like that, yeah.
The Gamecock women played in Paris last year. So, what in Paris? Yeah, Paris. Yeah. So, the point here,
at
ultimately,
least one of them is playing this year in Paris.
Correct. What up, Asia? Gangster. So, all of those things being said, I do not want amateurs back. I do not want anything to change. I want Team USA to have an extra couple of warm-ups before they go to the Olympics, because developing that chemistry and that timing is critical. And I think that while we did play three tune-up games, and tune-up games are important, if you watched those tune-up games, as I did, as Zoe did, Zoe, those tune-up games felt to me more like, you know what they felt like? It felt like a basketball con. Is what they felt like, right? It felt like it was more a celebration of the dudes that were on the team than a team-building exercise.
It was like the All-Star game.
Yeah.
With a little more care, but sure. Basically the All-Star game.
Because Canada wanted to beat us, right? South Sudan, that was their freaking Super Bowl. Like, these teams wanted to beat us. Serbia wanted to beat us, even though they only had Jokic in the tune-up game. They wanted to beat us. But for us, those games felt more like a tune-up game. Felt more like a warm-up game. Felt more like a celebration of the NBA players on the team than it felt like it was a progression of the team. And I think we're kind of to the point now where we need to send dudes in those spots to become a better basketball team. And I don't get the vibe that that's what's happening in those spots. So when you look at Serbia, a team that's got a three-time NBA MVP. Because I don't care what you say. Embiid did not take it from him in the mist. That was a Jokic year. Should be three consecutive time NBA winning MVP. And then you surround him with NBA role players like Bogdanovich who cater to him, which means that Serbia operates the way an NBA team does. They play the way an NBA team does. Nikola Jokic doesn't have to like learn a new style of basketball. Serbia caters to Jokic the way the Denver Nuggets cater to Jokic. He doesn't have to change his game. LeBron's got to change his game a little bit. Steph Curry's got to change his game. Joel Embiid's got to change his game. Anthony Davis. All these guys got to change their game for Team USA. Nikola Jokic doesn't. And neither do any of the guys that are around him. Bogdan Bogdanovich does not have to change his game. He's got to play in the Olympics the same way he plays in the NBA. He is not the star. He is a supplemental player who has the opportunity to knock down shots when they present themselves. And that's what happened yesterday. And he was frustratingly good at it. So you put all that together, like I said, do I think it's doom and gloom time? No. Do I think that things might need to be handled a little bit differently? Should we want to win the gold medal in 2028 when we host the Olympics? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Steve Kerr got the win yesterday. He's real lucky he did. Because I don't know, we go back to the game against Serbia in the group stage when Jason Tatum didn't play and Steve Kerr got busted up for it afterwards and he said, "Yo, I felt like an idiot, man. Felt like an idiot, but the matchups weren't right for playing Tatum." Bro, I was screaming at my TV yesterday. When the Americans were down 15 to Serbia and nothing was going right, I'm like, put them in just to see what happens, right? Like at some point, don't you have to, do something to change the chemistry of this game. Steph Curry and Joel Embiid could not work a 1-2 game to save their backsides yesterday. The timing was bad. And I don't know how many times, I mean, maybe all of them, I don't know. But I don't know how many times you can rely on LeBron James to bulldoze his way to the basket, get the and one, and hope that that's enough to trigger a change of the momentum in the game. But my man's 39. Now granted, there's only one game left, right? There's only the gold medal game left. But I don't know that I want to have to lean on that, especially when, by the way, that won't work against France. That won't work. LeBron goes barreling into the paint against France. What's waiting for him? Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert down low. So sending LeBron to the basket means it's either got to be to the basket and a dish. By the way, LeBron with the triple-double. We haven't even talked about the triple-double yet. LeBron with the triple-double. You send him to the basket, you better have somebody ready to take the pass and knock down a shot on the outside. Or LeBron better be ready to get worked, dude. To get worked. So we'll see how we'll see what changes. I'll say this: I like the Americans over the French in the gold medal game. I like them, and I like them in part because while we can sit here and talk about chemistry and timing and all these things that were a problem yesterday that made yesterday's game a hell of a lot more exhilarating than we would have liked as a 14.5-point favorite. These dudes do have some level of pride to them. They do have some level of expectation of themselves. I believe that. And so they're going to get roughed up. They got roughed up last night. They're getting roughed up today. They're going to be roughed up tomorrow. They are going to hear about this game against Serbia over and over and over. And I expect that tomorrow against France, you're probably going to get Team USA's best game of the tournament. You're probably going to get a team that is infuriated, that is ticked off. Now, that doesn't always translate to success, to victory. Sometimes you go out there and you overdo it. out of spite.
Yeah, that could lead to a bunch of guys saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make sure that we win instead of we are going to do this.
Yeah.
Because that has been their problem the entire time. Hopefully it's a wake-up call and they'll take it a little more serious.
That's what I'm banking on. That is what I am banking on. But, like we mentioned, France, and go back to before the Olympics started, I mentioned three teams specifically that I went, they're good enough to beat. You have an off day. They're good enough to beat you. Canada, Serbia, and France are the three teams I went and worried about. The bracket shaped up so you didn't see Jamal Murray in Canada. You saw Serbia, who, by the way, is, I don't think, as good as France overall. You saw Serbia. They took you to the limit one more time. It's the Eagles.
Who are you telling that?
Just in general. It's just a, okay. It's for the audience. You know, right. It's for the Armada.
Because I got it. I was there.
Serbia took it to the limit. Now you get France, a team that getting a shot off inside of 8 feet is going to be nothing shy of a miracle, even for NBAers. This now becomes it becomes an issue of pride, and it becomes an issue of getting the little things right, which we did yesterday in the last 5 minutes of the basketball contest. You can't let France have 35 minutes where they're the better team because you won't be down 11. You'll be down 23. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. We'll break that game down later on in the show. Coming up in the next hour of the show, water cooler cheat sheet out of the gate. Then we break down what we saw or maybe didn't saw last night in the Carolina Panthers preseason game number one, a loss on the road at the New England Patriots. It was ugly. The weather. And also the game. You know what's not ugly? You know what is the definition of perfection? When Lonzo reads sports flashes.
The Carolina Panthers dropped their first preseason game to the New England Patriots last night, 17-3. Jack Plummer got most of the snaps at quarterback, going 11 for 21 for 86 yards, while recent addition Jake Luton went 7 for 9 for 38 yards. Mike Boone carried 8 times for 34 yards, and Jordan Matthews was the leading receiver with 3 grabs for 48 yards. The Atlanta Braves were rocked by the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday, 16-7. Charlie Morton was yanked from the game after 2.2 innings, surrendering a 9-hit and 8 runs. The Brewers recorded 20 hits, including 6 home runs, earning the 3-game sweep over Atlanta. The Braves' 5th consecutive loss, coupled with a Mets win, drops Atlanta to 3rd in the NL East and out of the playoff spots. For now, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryce and the Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, whole lot of fun, all Wire to Wire.